Guests. I'm gonna get all the email requests out of the way. It seems every time I play this, I usually get 10 or 15. And the guy's playing with us again. Oh man, I don't know why they got to do that. They think it's funny, I guess. Anyway, I got an email request to hear Thelonious Monk again, what he just ran to Obama. And then I got 35 for George Carlin's American Dream. So I'm going to get those out of the way, and then Frank Falange is going to be joining us in probably about 15 minutes. I'll get it out of the way right now.
Thelonious Monk, man. I ain't been here in a while, man, but it's too hot for me to get into it. I'm not going to do a lot of explanations today. It's going to be a straight stopping beat. This is to the government. United States government. No. $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance the fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? Your bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. How do you even approach the ceiling without knowing you're close to the ceiling? Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal. This isn't Democratic or Republican. This is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass it to... Ooh. Don't even stop it, B. Stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balance. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying this. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you, all the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating, you know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why it's 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only did y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light. So you see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking,
it is. Just to let you guys to know today that America has closed the books on 2011 with debt at an all-time high record, $15.2 trillion. $15.2. Obviously, he hasn't been paying the bills. They went up from 14. Okay, we're going to do a switch around here. We'll do a little George Carlin and then a couple things and we'll get out of the way here.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
That's it. What I'm going to do, get us ready for Frank here. Let's see. I'll let Frank tell you what's going on, but let's see.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for...
There we go. This is one that's pretty good. It's called Freedom in Society.
Freedom in Society. we have freedom of choice. You know, we have freedom of choice. Yeah. Very limited. It's an important thing, limited choice. Two political parties, essentially, two. Big media companies, five, six.
Max.
Yeah. Oil companies, down to three now, I think, overall, three or four. Banks, the big brokerage houses, the big accounting firms. All the things that are important, reduced in choice. Newspapers in the city, how many? Used to be three, four. Now it's one or two. They're owned by the same people. They also own radio stations and the TV station. But jelly beans, 32 flavors.
Yeah.
Ice cream, all the things that don't matter. The unimportant things, a lot of choices.
Yeah.
You know what I say? You know what your freedom of choice is in America? Paper or plastic.
Yeah.
That's it, man. It comes down to paper or plastic, cash or charge, aisle or window, smoking or non-smoking, Coke or Pepsi. These are your choices. Everything else is kind of laid out for you. You get to do what they really want. They do what they want. The ones who own this country, they do what they want.
Speaking about choices being usurped or taken away from us, what do you make of what? And I'm fascinated to ask you this because all the things that you've been talking about for years we've come full circle on this stuff. That's why I was so fascinated. Thank you for coming on the program.
Sure.
But here we are now, you know, 30 years after you were talking about it, with this huge debate, this huge fight about whether or not our civil liberties are being taken away from us. What are your thoughts on?
Well, I think if you looked at the record of laws which have been passed in the last 30 to 40 years, there's a thing called social hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
Social hysteria is whipped up generally by the media. Crime. In Nixon's time, crime was the big social hysteria issue. There's too much crime. They're coddling the courts, are coddling the criminals. We have to tougher laws. So a lot of civil liberties went away in terms of the rights of criminals and the rights of the accused and people going on trial. These were limited. They were cut down. These rights,
Hello.
Which are guaranteed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, I'm on live.
Another social hysteria, drugs.
I'm on
the drug thing happened. Same thing. Big flow of drugs. We're going to fight the drugs.
Okay,
we need new tougher laws. We need draconian sentences. We need to be able to go into houses. We need to be able to do this. We have reasonable, you know, all of these shortcuts have resulted in less liberties because of social hysteria. The media whips up the frenzy. People get all excited. The legislature passes it. The executive signs it. And the judges then, the judicial branch, okays it sometime later when it gets to them. And what has happened is you have less freedom, less liberties, less civil liberties, less rights. And the third social hysteria is terrorism. That was whipped up. Now, there's a little problem, a little more cause there. You look at the 9/11, it's a very dramatic event. But that, too, has been used with this Patriot Act to reduce our liberties. They say, well, if you got nothing to hide, what are you worried about? You know, that whole argument.
Yeah.
Tell me about the people that are, you know, just getting out of prison because the DNA, if they got had nothing to hide. This country is owned by the ownership class. They do pretty much what they want. I figure it's like a freak show. Here's what I do. You know what I do? To me, if you're born in the world, you get a ticket to the freak show. You get a ticket to the freak show. If you're born in America, you got a front row seat. So some people are in the freak show.
Yeah.
We got our freaks.
Yeah.
Then some people, they want to fix the freaks.
Yeah.
These are the ACLU lawyers, environmentalists. Well, let's fix the freaks. We're going to fix them up. Oh, isn't that terrible? Let's do this. And then there are folks who just watch the freak show, as me. And some of us get to write about it or talk about it.
Right.
And I do that.
That's you too.
Yeah. And say, oh, look at you. Look how badly you're doing. I don't even count myself in.
Yeah.
I say, look how badly you folks are doing. How did you do this to yourself? Why did you let them do this to you?
Hello, Frank.
What's going on there, Philip?
Just trying to do three things at once and keep these guys at bay. They keep knocking on the door.
How's the new year?
Everything was good, man. Everything was good. Went out, took a nice ride on the coast. Kind of sucked when it got foggy out, but other than that, it was nice. Had to break out my jacket.
Well, it's still warmer than here.
So what's going on? We're talking about March 20th. That's going to be your single is going to be released?
Yeah, single's called I'm Ready. It's going to release March 20th. iTunes, Amazon, all those places. And starting February 20th, I'm going to do a national radio campaign for it. So I know Brenda's on the chat board. Just want to give a shout out to her, and maybe she'll call in here and we can chat with her for a little bit.
Sure. You can egg her on.
Any of the fans, call right in. But yeah, I got that going on, and I got nominated to play live at the Grammys. It's a Grammy contest that they're having. So the 17th to the 23rd, people can go on and vote through their Facebooks. And you never know, you might be seeing me playing up on that stage.
Yeah. Yeah, she says, hey, Frank. So, have you been doing, you got any gigs going on between that or now and then, or no, or you just practice?
Thursday we're playing at Savannah's or Dublin's Underground, as they call it, and we're playing, I think it starts at 8, we're playing at 9. We're doing that, a couple other local gigs here and there, and I've got something in the works, too, that we might be playing in Missouri in front of 20,000 people.
Yep.
So I'm really looking forward to that, and hopefully it's through an indie record company, so we still got to iron out all the bugs. But
okay.
Just,
and then you got stuff going around in there?
In where?
According to what I read, a couple of things, it says you're gearing up for the 2012 rock single, and then you're going to do... let's see. Yeah, the upcoming shows. You got the one I only got half of it, Frank, and it's December's. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, we got one this Thursday. We're supposed to have a show to open up for a touring band Sunday, but that fell through. I got one, a solo one next Friday. We got Jay's on the 28th in Boston Spa. I think February, we got a couple of dates, and I've got, it's funny, I just woke up one day and I looked at my inbox, and there's like a band and a couple other people saying, you know, you want to do some gigs with us, here's some dates. So I haven't announced them all yet because we haven't figured out everything, but there's probably another, you know, five just from the other day that we're going to book for this year, and it's weird. It goes by, you know, a month or two at a time when we know, you know, it's not always, you know, you book up to 6 months or whatever.
Yeah. No, it's like right now, I got the right one. But it's, so the 5th, you're going to be in Albany, New York?
Yep. Yep, Thursday.
And then you're going to, on the 20th, you're going to be in York?
On the 20th. It's a talent competition on the internet.
Oh, okay.
It's,
and then you got Jay's Bar and Grill?
Yep, that's 28th. Yep.
Okay.
That's Balsa Spa. And,
cool.
Missouri will be in the end of April, probably I think it's the 27th to the 29th. It's going to be a big first-time music festival sponsored by Budweiser. And they said they're supposed to be guaranteed 20,000 to 30,000 tickets sold. So hopefully we'll have a huge crowd for that one.
Yeah. If you get some video, somebody get some video, Dad, send it to me and I'll post it for you. Because I just put up the Grammy Live in L.A. So I got your voting starts in 11th. I put the link up for you.
There you go. Yeah, it's a great contest, but they haven't exactly... I think a couple days before, hopefully they'll give me a better link than just a series of, like, letters and numbers. Because it's hard to tell someone. They're like, where is it? And I'm like, I can't exactly explain it. So.
Yeah.
But
according to this, it's the 8th most shared artist in the contest now.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Cool. I was surprised. I was looking, and I was like, oh, my God. I was like, maybe we do... You know, because it'd be me and my full band going out there and doing the tune. I'd premiere I Am Ready probably at the Grammys. But just to be in a contest like that, I'm considering it to be basically the biggest contest of my life to, you know, those couple of days to push the heck out of it and to try to get everyone involved. I know Q103, local rock station in Albany, they've been covering stuff. Local Chronicle is going to do a little newspaper article on it. So I keep trying to plug it. I go, any friends, family, anybody who supports indie bands that to go on the 17th to the 23rd and check it out.
Yeah, we got to see about getting out here because Evan Seinfeld from Biohazard.
Yep.
He's Rusty's new lead singer for Attica 7.
Yeah, he told me that one time. It'd be cool to get together, do a show with them.
Yeah. They just did some big wild thing out in San Bernardino, but that had like 40 bands all day.
Wow. What a setup that must be. Holy crap.
Oh, exactly. It was a zoo, man. But, no, and then I got this, you sent me the 45-second preview of I'm Ready. Did
yeah.
Do you have anything longer? You want to play the song or you want to just give the teaser?
No, just the teaser. That's all I can do right now.
Okay. Well, let me get that up here for you.
All right. It's, to me, I think from the sound quality to just the writing, I just think it blows the EP right out of the water, and I think it leads the way. Like, the name of the song has to do with the song, but for me, and I think for people, it's a statement. I'm definitely making a statement of obviously
you're
I'm
ready
to go out. Yeah,
are you ready?
And do what I do, where you remember, the other one you had, I'm Waiting. People are like, what are you waiting for? So, it's just, I worked with a group of different people. I worked with Rob Coates and his team, and we got the drummer from Pillar to be on it. And it was just a different process. We did some stuff digitally as far as, I wasn't there when they recorded the drums. They, I watched over a webcam, and they sent me the files after, and some things now with the internet just makes it more cost-effective of, you don't actually have to be there 2 days in the studio listening to a mix.
Right.
They can just email it to you wherever you are, so.
And it's the same thing. Rusty just sent me some, they redid some of the songs with Evan singing, and he sent them to me in an email.
Yep.
Some things it works and some things it don't. Some things you still need to shake somebody's hand or see their face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always that connection, where if you never meet the person, there's a connection, I guess, over the phone. And, you can do webcam now where you can actually see the person and all that, but it's not the same as going down to, because I still recorded it in Nashville, but hopefully, because I know I have plans of another single and some other stuff going on, but I don't know if I have the funds to go down again, because I've went down about 3 times now, so we'll see.
Okay, well, let me pop this up. This is I'm Ready by Frank Valanci.
I am this feeling. It was born inside me. How can I grow without my passion leading the way? Not a day has gone by. Fighting, staying true. Listen close. This is my
tease.
What do you think of it there, Phil?
I think it's good, man. It starts out telling how you feel and goes into how you really feel.
Exactly.
Or in other words, you just
hit it right
at
the point there.
Yeah, I'm ready to do it.
Yeah, it's the song. I mean, for me, it's autobiography. You know, it's about I guess in general, someone born with that feeling or that something inside that, you know, I believe in myself. I think something. I can make something of myself. You know how it's just sometimes like, man, you know, I have that feeling of being, say, a big movie director. I know I can do it. You know, so it's leaning towards that. And knowing that pretty soon, you know, almost you have to step into that limelight and lead the way, pretty much.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you're right, because you know, when you start out, like a lot of people get out of high school and some go to college, some don't, some just start working right away. And they never really find their niche till later on down the road. It might be two or three jobs later.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, it's that, you know, I've had some friends and stuff that they floated around their lives and they're like, I don't know what to do. End up going to college. They end up dropping out of college. They go back to college for something else and they don't have a clear vision. And I think sometimes, whether it's the way you were raised or maybe the friends or people around you, but everyone should have something that they absolutely love, they have a passion for, and it's like, no, I'm doing it. Rather, like my dad loved to ride dirt bikes, even though, you know, he has a 9-to-5, you know, job. But that's what he loved to do. That was his passion, and he stuck with it as long as he could.
Yeah, and a lot of people get away from that. They just, it's like they're afraid to take that, put one foot in front of the other and go for it.
Yeah, I think if more people did, I don't know, I think it'd be a little bit of a different world. I think things would get done faster.
Yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't have all the bullshit we're going through right now. You know, like, it's like earlier I said about the 15.2 trillion we're in debt now.
Yeah.
And Art said, well, with all that money, they surely will not miss my pathetic amount in taxes.
Well, that's the national debt, right, that we got?
Yeah, 15.2 trillion.
15.5.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, I mean, crazy. To me, I know very little about what's going on. I don't really... I try to stay out of it because I think if you get engulfed in it too, you become depressed a lot of times.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad. But to me, what they're telling me, it's just a number. And money is something that is just printed. So,
right.
And the government or whoever made up money. So I understand why... You know.
Pretty soon we're all gonna have to learn how to. Yeah, pretty soon we're all gonna have to learn how to speak Chinese.
Probably every language.
Instead of Spanish being a second language in America, it would be Chinese next.
Chinese.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever speak Chinese.
No.
It's tough.
I'd have to,
I know
I'd
a
have,
little bit of French. That's what I took in high school, but.
Yeah. No, I'd have to start drinking again.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't have anything against anybody. It's just I try to stay out of the whatever goes on because I can't do anything about it. I mean, if I was in it, if I was like, you know, governor or something like that, then you have something
to
do.
Frank, but if you bend over once, you're gonna bend over twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's the sheeple, like with the helmet law, you know, they want to go, you know, the whole United States and all that shit. I'd rather have a choice than be told what to do.
Yeah, that is very important. Well,
yeah.
Just like, you know, you have the government, but you have my whole notion of whether you're in music or you're in film, you have record companies, you have movie companies. It's kind of the same thing. They tell you what to do. You have no choice. We own everything. We know you as an artist, but we're not really going to do who you originally are as far as the music wise, you know, or they change your personality, blah, blah, blah. So you just, I just think people just have to stand up more, because there's been a lot of times where I've been, no, I don't do that. I won't, you know, ever sponsor that product, or I will never do this or that. You just got to stick up to what your limits are. But I think with a lot of society now, where are those limits? You know, in the mainstream audience, there really isn't any limits. Back in the day, you know, you had, was I Love Lucy, all that stuff. You couldn't show this, couldn't show. Now you can do anything. And that's good, but it's bad at the same time.
Well, it's like being right here, you know. This is the last bastion of freedom right here, where you're allowed to say anything you want to say on the air. You know, I played that disclaimer in the beginning just to let you know that this is an adult audience and you're going to hear things and the story.
Yeah. You know, I get, like, the FM, there's regulations and all that. And, you know, to me, obviously, there is no regulation, so to speak, on internet radio. But, you know, I think as celebrities, too, they have freedom more than anyone else to say anything. And they don't really get in trouble with it because they're celebrities.
Right. I mean,
they get away with a lot.
Yeah. Where else can you, where else, let me just give you an example, people. Where else can you hear? Let's see.
Press.
Right here. Where else can you hear music like this?
I don't give a fuck. Press down the jet.
You know?
Satellite
radio.
You know, there's bands like Megadeth, you know, very, very political, very, they respect the system at the same time. It's the old rebel of lashing out. But can you honestly say you ever heard a band write a song that is pro, not America, but like pro the way we live, pro government, pro, I've never heard one.
Well, no, it's pro, almost pro everything. You know,
I've heard what America is, but I haven't heard the good of what, you know, what goes on.
No, and you probably won't in our lifetime.
Probably not. I mean, it's very, like, when you write a song, I've looked on websites, you release this or that, you have to choose, like, what's your song about? They make you pinpoint something, and they really only have 40 different things that you can talk about. It's like, all right, that's all there is to write a song about?
Yeah.
Got to be something else.
There's a gentleman in there by the name of L, and he said you have to stand for something or it'll fall for anything.
Well, I know Al Barden. Yeah, he's a local here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure, anyways.
But no, he's right there, because, like I said, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice, you know. It's like watching the news. You only hear on the news what they want you to hear. You won't hear, in other words, okay, for an example, the three bikers got in a bar fight, two guys got stabbed, and one guy died. That'll be the 11 o'clock story instead of the six guys who got hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? It's
or, you know, the fact that we have to put all that in the media. I mean, do we really have to report every single thing that goes on bad that happens in the area?
Yeah, I mean, how many times can you hear about Obama going to Hawaii and playing golf?
He plays golf?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he should be figuring out how to get us out of fucking debt, but he's playing golf. You know, and then right, like yesterday was the big thing on the news where they're all going to start their campaigning for 2012. I got a funny feeling this guy's going to be around for another 4 years.
I don't really know how it's going to go. I think it's kind of anyone's game.
I don't know. I haven't seen anybody that Yeah, he probably will, because I haven't seen anybody that can stand up to it yet.
I was watching Piers Morgan on CNN, and I think it was Morgan Freeman or somebody else. He always asks, you know, what do you think of Obama? Do you think this and that? Do you think he's going to be in there? I think what he said is that he thinks that he will win it, but he just needs to step up to the plate more. And I think most people think that. I don't think they think he's terrible. Like, I don't think he's a terrible person, but I don't know how all that stuff works. It may work really, really slow, but I just think somebody, whether it's him or somebody else, it has to move faster.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Somebody's got to rein this shit in.
Yep.
You know?
Well, with anything, you know, it's just all, it's got to go through the chains, and it's not really as realistic as, you know, there's a lot of numbers involved, and that gets in the way.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, there's nothing really, I mean, who would we bring out of the woodwork to try and beat this guy, you know? There's nobody there.
Yeah, me. I don't know much about it, but just a little bit.
Well, there's some things, it's just like this. They passed a law, not a couple weeks ago, Frank. If you have more than 7 days of food in your icebox or in your house, you're considered a terrorist. If you have waterproof ammunition, you're going to be considered a terrorist. If you talk to three guys or anybody on a watch list, now you're a terrorist. You're going to be on a watch list, too. You're going fucking hell in a handbasket.
Is that state or nationwide?
Nationwide.
Nationwide, huh? More
nationwide.
Than 7 days of food? Well, that means if you're a farmer, it's probably illegal.
Yeah. Well, farmers, yeah, they're growing, you know, we subsidize them. And
growing
months. Yeah.
Months food.
Yeah, we subsidize them. And I know some farmers that ain't growing nothing but something they shouldn't be growing.
Yeah.
You know, but
they grow food instead. You can eat it.
Exactly. But so, have you gotten any bites? Or are you your original band and stuff? You guys are gonna go play, and are you getting more dates, or are you just winging it as they come?
It's hard to explain what's going on. I mean, I've had a lot of people contact me. I've had some people that are like, you know, what if I managed you? I've had some indie record labels. I've sent my stuff to some of the major record labels. You know, just this and that, but it's all about what do you do, what move do you take, and who can you trust, and what's next. Most of them, or actually pretty much all of them so far, I don't think have been in the right realm. Like sometimes you get where, oh, you need 20,000 of your own money to do this and to do that and to maybe fund a tour that would go flat because you're promoting it on your own and this and that. And I understand that if you don't have a record company like what I'm doing, I have to pay for everything. So there's nobody backing it. So naturally you would have to save all the touring money up, you know, and go on your own tour. But, you know, I have no money to do that. And not that I'm against touring, but not to do one of my own tours.
Yeah. And the hard part is, you know, it's like there's so many people out there struggling to get ahead that nobody's really paying attention. Unless you got an inside connection, you're gonna sit on the street and look on the inside out.
Yeah. That's
true. On the outside looking.
All right, go ahead.
No, I said you'd be on the outside looking in.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd never quite get into it. You know, it's like you're waiting outside the circle. You wanna poke your way through a little bit. But
and every time you get close, back you back 2 or 3 feet because they say you gotta have your own cash. Well, if I had my own cash, I wouldn't be here trying to get it from you. You know.
Yeah. Well, you got Driving the Lines, right? That song.
Yeah, I think so.
that's exactly what that's about. It's about, you know, I say in a song, they say you're only good when you're rushing to the top. And it's like nobody knows you if you're going down. They don't even remember you. So that's what that song's about is, you know, you're driving their lines, you're playing their games, and all the promise of fame, you know?
Yeah. I got that right now. Let me pull it up. We'll pop that in right now. This is, go ahead and give the build up on this one.
Well, I mean, that's basically what it was about, what I just said. And there was another song. It's off my EP on iTunes, Amazon. I recorded it in Nashville with Day of Fire and their producer. And, hope you guys enjoy.
Driving These Lines by Frank Belanger.
Rockin'.
It's like, okay, Sandy, you don't have to be a chicken. You can call in. We won't bite. Numbers 347-857-7753. Right now, I understand Brenda's phone's being held hostage by her teenage son, so
yep.
It's up to you, Sandy.
See, I've talked to you in person, so, you know. Sandy, she's one of my fans. I've actually met twice here, and then when I did a show in, I forgot the town, but somewhere in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Her, Brenda, and we got Al Barden. I think he's the local guy. They're all big fans of mine. And let's see.
Al,
Lisa,
Sandy,
Jen.
Yeah, Brenda, if your phone gets if you take your phone from being held hostage, we'll gladly talk to you. Same thing with Sandy and Al. Al, if you got any questions for Frank that he can answer, call in. The number is 347-826-7753.
Yeah, we got Jen. I think Jen's one of the guests in there. Maybe Lisa, too. I'm not sure. Oh, Foxborough. There we go.
Yeah, anybody can call in.
Brenda
says she's going to book. Brenda says she wants to book a trip to Albany.
Yeah, definitely. She says if we hit up Northern Lights or something again, we'll tell her we'll try to plan it when the good weather comes in.
Yeah.
But I'm
the
trying.
Number, like I said, the number is 347-826-7753. We have Kitty up there in Canada if you want to call in. We got Art in Poway. Brenda's calling. She stood her ground and got her phone back.
She probably gave him a couple bucks. Here you go.
Hey, go use the payphone.
Yeah, or if it's my mom, she'd be like, oh, I'll bake you some brownies.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd go for that.
Spaghetti meatball dinner, because I'm Italian, so.
Okay, here we go. 941,
hello.
You're on the air.
Hello, it's me.
Hello there,
Who's
what's
me?
Going on?
Oh, not much, I'm just freezing my butt off out here.
This is Brenda,
before
right?
Before you go outside, you
yeah,
put clothes on.
Yeah, Brenda. Oh,
before
I'm not outside this time.
Okay. Well, I'm just letting you know for future reference, before you go outside, put some clothes on.
Well, it's Florida, we're not supposed to be cold.
Whoever was calling on Skype, you were next. If you want to call back, that would be great.
You're
Sandy, you gotta,
probably
you gotta,
warmer than I am right now.
Yeah, Sandy, call back. I have to work the switchboard, and Brenda was the first one that I hit, so if you call back, I'll bring you in.
Anyways, yeah, I managed to get the phone from the kid. He's got school tomorrow, so he shouldn't be up too much later.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got 978. Anything you want to talk to Frank about?
No, Frank's on.
Frank's on. Who's that, Pete?
Yeah, Frank Belangi.
Hey, what's going on there, Pete?
Hey, Frank. Sorry, we haven't spoken in a while. My dad passed away, and I was meaning to talk to you about some things.
Yeah,
no,
I heard he wasn't doing too well. I wasn't sure.
Not
sorry
that
to hear about it.
Now that I'm in control of my father's millions. Not
oh
that that's
God.
Funny, but anyway, just joking. What's happening?
We have Sandy on the line. Are you
Hello.
There, Sandy?
Hi, how are you?
Hello. Good, how are you?
Okay.
So we've got
going
Brenda.
Going on there, Sandy?
Well, I made the call.
Thanks,
welcome.
I appreciate
welcome,
it.
Welcome.
I like to try to help Frank out any way I can. He is so talented and such a great guy.
He's a good dude, too.
He is.
He is a good dude.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to have to go to Albany and get myself up. I'm going to have to save some money and make a trip up there since I probably won't be able to get him down here anytime soon.
Hey,
that would be great.
You never
for
know.
Me too, Brenda.
I can tell you a quick way. He likes brownies and he likes meatballs and spaghetti, so there you go.
And I'm a lousy cook. Isn't that just the way it goes? Oh.
Oh, I'll take anything.
Yeah, buy it at the store. Who's going to know?
Yeah, I buy stuff good. I don't cook good, but I buy stuff.
My mom makes awesome cakes. I'll have my mom make me a cake.
There you go. Well, I tell you, when I'm doing this radio campaign, we're going to hit a Florida radio station. So if they really like it, I'll let you know what station. Maybe I can get down there and do something with them.
Oh, I've been trying. A lot of the stuff down here is all, you know, they play what they're supposed to play, and that's about it. You don't. Get a whole lot of independent people down here. It's all up north. You know, Florida's years behind all the people down here. By the time they catch up with the rest of y'all up north, it's old hat.
Do you know the station to call?
I'm not really sure who to call down here. I don't know. I've put in a few emails and stuff to places because I have that other group, Van Attica, that knows a few radio stations down here, and every time they ask me to push one of them, I try to throw you in there too while I'm in there with everybody else.
You're a really good man.
I haven't done
man.
Anything like that in quite a while, though, so it's been a while since I've sent out any emails or
called
people and stuff.
Brenda, did I just hear you say Attica?
Van Attica. It's another group from Illinois that I'm a fan of as well.
Okay.
A bunch of guys are really, really good, and I met them on stage at around the same time I kind of got into liking Frank, so I pushed Frank a little bit more.
they're really
good. Is
that
you, Al?
518 Al? Hey, what's going on? It's me, TR.
TR,
well, hello there, how are you?
In the house, TR, everybody.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
My percussionist,
yeah.
Buddy, friend, and musical guest.
Hey, watch out for this kid. He's going to take over the world this year. I got a feeling.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about Frank. I can tell you one thing. I can tell you something that most people don't know about Frank Palangi. I hooked Frank up with a friend of mine who's an actor in Hollywood, pretty famous. I'm not going to mention his name. And he deals with helping children overseas that are homeless and have nothing and that need medical care. And Frank offered his music free of charge to help these kids. And when I saw that, I knew what type of person Frank really was. You know, in other words, he was going to do whatever he could with using his music to help these kids overseas. And my friend was blown. You know who I'm talking about, Frank, right?
Yeah.
And,
anytime anything comes up like that.
And we'll say his first name was Ray. Ray was so impressed by that. And I don't know, Ray was, you know, told me, he was like, wow, your friend's great for doing that, you know. And more people should be like that, man, you know. Most musicians are about money, not helping, you know. And I know, Frank, that you help a lot of people when you do shows and benefits and stuff, you know.
Well, that's the one thing I like.
I was going to say, I don't mind. It's very good. And anything. I mean, I do the local telethon every year. TR and I actually played Festival of Trees.
Yep.
It's all anything. There's actually another festival coming up I might do for disabled kids. And, you know, I don't have a lot of money, but anytime anything like that comes up, I mean, everybody needs help. So.
Yeah, well, I know, like myself, like Frank said, you know, we did the Festival of Trees benefit together for a school near us that helps kids that, you know, need assistance in different areas and stuff. And, you know, myself personally, I always like helping kids too, because I know myself, I was born a birth defect child. So anytime, like Frank said, you know, that I can help, I like him, don't have a lot of money either, but you know, I love to try to help kids and help those in need and things like that, too. So.
Hey, believe me, people appreciate it, including famous people, because Frank knows what I'm talking about, you know. And, you know, like I said, I know a lot of musicians, some that are very famous. And you know, I'm not going to talk shit about them or anything. What I'm going to say like it is, they're all about the money. And when you have a musician come along and says, hey, I'll do a free concert to help some disabled kids, no problem, you know. And they do it, and it's like, wow, you know, there should be more people like that in the world, not just musicians, everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for being like that, because it's all about money with people, you know, and not giving a shit.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, you know, he's you know, willing to get that out there to help anybody, you know, and that's what I like about Frank. You know, he's upfront and honest with you, and you know, tries to help as much he can, and I think that's why him and I are as close of friends as we are, so I'm always glad to help him in any way I can.
That's why people should buy your music, Frank. They should definitely buy Frank Palangi's music, because not only is he a great performer, a great musician, songwriter, he's a great guy, and he has a good heart, and I saw this when he was going to help these kids overseas with a celebrity friend of mine. I was just blown away by that. And my friend, his name is Ray, the actor, I won't say his last name for out of respect to him, privacy, he was blown away by that, and he wrote me a private message about it. And I was like, wow, Frank's a good dude, you know. So thank you, Frank.
Well, there's so few genuine people in the industry these days, you know, and it's like, talking to Frank on Facebook and things like that, I can see he's a genuine person, he's decent, and that's the way I'd want one of my kids to grow up to be like, and you know, knock wood, I'm doing a good job so far. But, you know, it's great to have a dream, and you know, you take what you can when you can, and you got to support it. And I, you know, I gave up a lot of things to be a mom and a wife and things like that. So I'm always grateful to see people who really stand by what they believe in, and he does a wonderful job at it.
And Frank's a younger guy, too. It's a, you don't see a lot, you know, see a lot of these younger people doing any of that. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be famous. I want the money, you know. Frank's like, hey, he just said it. I got nothing, you know.
We got
to. You know, I'll give it to you. I got nothing, but I'll give it to you. You know?
Well, people forget they got to start at the bottom before they can get to the top. And,
yeah, well,
you know,
when they get to the top, they should just keep Frank's attitude
on helping.
Yeah, when
they get to the top, they become jackasses. And,
I mean,
and I don't see that happening with him, at least, you know. Hope not, but I know a lot of musicians because
and like I said, most of them, you know, they do great music, but they're in it for the money. They don't want to help anybody. They don't do benefits.
We got a caller from 205. Are you there?
Hey, yeah, this is Jen. What's up?
How you doing?
I'm good. How y'all doing tonight?
Not bad.
Pretty good.
We're talking to you. How are you?
I'm like Brenda. I'm freezing my butt off here in Alabama.
It's cold in Alabama, really?
Oh, yeah. It's in the 20s here.
I'm in Boston. It's like 3 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's like 8 here in upstate New York.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
just
cold, too.
Okay,
yeah,
so I'm warmer than y'all. I'm 41, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's nice.
Man, I'm warmer than all of you. It's 61 with a stop the ocean right now.
Lucky you, man.
Hey,
but
last week I was spending
Christmas Day
at the beach. You know, I mean, I was at the beach on Christmas Day practically. It's beautiful. Now it's like someone left the door open up north. Y'all need to shut it. And
yeah. This is Jen from Facebook there, right? What's going on?
Yes, hey.
First time I got to talk to you here.
Yeah, I was chicken at first, but I decided to do it. I was like, hell, everybody
else. Well, it's cool because I don't, you know, I talk to some of the fans and stuff on Facebook, but to talk to them on the phone and incorporate them into an interview, or, you know, is awesome.
And I just want to tell you, I just want to say, don't be afraid, little girl. You can call anytime.
All right, well, I appreciate that.
I was the same way the first time, and I spent the whole time on there sitting outside until the interview was over, basically, and I probably didn't say a whole lot either after a while, so I just sat and listened.
Well, now that you guys have Frank on the phone and you're all live, do me a favor, one at a time, ask your questions or any questions you want to ask Frank, and he'll tell you your answers.
Okay, Jen, you go first. Uh-oh, is she still there?
Yeah, I don't have any questions. I can't think of nothing right now.
Well, when are you going to do another stage at show so we can watch you again? I like watching you live.
Definitely this month. I would say over the next 2 weeks, for sure.
All right, that's
yep.
good. As long as it's after 4, not when I have to work. So just let me know ahead of time so I can ask for the day off at least.
All right, well, I still might do one earlier, and I'll definitely do one at night too. So, because there's different crowd earlier. I try to grab some different people then too. But
yeah, I'm trying
I'll do
to
a
get
double.
You some new fans. I think I got, well, you sent me one of those digital download cards, and since I already had the EP, I sent the number to a friend in Colombia, and I'm hoping she redeemed it so she's listening to you as well, because I think I got her hooked on you. I got her
cool.
to listen to Love, so.
That sounds good. Yeah, I had that music video out that all you guys are going crazy over. You're like, oh, my God.
it's the best so far. I actually like it. I think the video is amazing. I didn't think of it in that sense, but when I saw the video, the visual definitely goes well with the song. That's all I can say. It's one of the best songs so far, I think.
Well, Brenda,
my favorite,
do you
by
think
far.
Anything less?
No, not at all. But I do like a love song. I'm a sucker for a slow, sad, weepy kind
oh, yeah.
of thing, so, you know, you can always get me on a love song. I don't, you know, he does a lot of rocking songs, but I'm more partial to the love song.
So I do both, so.
But you're still a little
It don't matter
young,
what
you
he does. He sounds
years.
Good on anything. It don't matter what he does.
No, he could sing the phone book. I really wouldn't care. There you go.
There you go.
Hey, so I, you guys keep talking like that. I'm going to need a cigarette after this.
I'm old enough to be his mom. I got to be careful what I say.
Oh. Old enough to be your dad.
People don't realize that Frank has a couple different styles of music. Like on one hand, he's like, you know, Metallica type and Creed. Then he has other songs like Remembrance, which is a softer, you know, mild, laid back tune. I don't know.
That's another phone call.
Hold on 1 second. Sandy, is that you?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, we called you back.
Thank you.
Frank.
Yeah. You got Sandy back on the line?
I'm back.
Yes, we do.
I'm back.
She's back.
I'm back.
You know what I'm saying? Frank knows what I'm saying. When it, like, Frank has some hardcore stuff, but he does some really good, like Remembrance. That song, Remembrance, that's a great song, man. It was
that's
in my film,
too.
But it was taken out of my film because the filmmaker was a prick and screwed me over and didn't want to put Frank's song in the film. You know. So
well, we could play Remembrance if you like, Frank, or we could play Love. Either one.
I'll go.
It
with
doesn't matter.
It's up to you guys.
I love Remembrance.
Remembrance is a good tune.
All right.
I think Remembrance is good.
Okay,
I'm
here we
not
go.
Numbered. Go ahead with Remembrance.
Yeah, we choose Remembrance.
I can listen to them anytime. Y'all just...
Yeah, me too.
Oh.
Thank you.
great song.
That's a great, that is a great song.
That he is.
It's funny because I was doing a radio interview earlier today, and we played that song. And I don't know if you guys know, but I mentioned that that song is a one-take, one-through live. And it just amazes me how we got three takes of it, and I had to pick the best one. And how that came out, you know, because we were talking about how a lot of stuff is copped up. You know, they use a lot of auto-tune, they use a lot of effects, they really just filter the heck out of it. And this is as raw as pretty much you can get.
No kidding.
That's great.
But I got a question for you guys, actually.
Okay. Go for
it. What? I was watching all my Facebook stuff and everything that you know about my music. Where do you think I will go this year, or what do you think? What do you think I could achieve just by from the outside looking in?
Well, you seem to be doing so well. I mean, you get such great reviews on everything I've read about you. You know, everything I see, I think you're really going places. I'm not sure exactly where, as far as, you know, exact things, but I mean, you are definitely going up.
Yeah, and I also think that if you get enough fans and enough followers to vote for you, I honestly think that you could play on the Grammys because you're just that good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm for that too, and I do everything I can as much as I can. Like, it's why I post so much, or I, you know, get out there and I try to say, hey, you ought to hear this, or you ought to. I mean, even my friends on Facebook, my friends at work. You know, I try to get a few other people on there. Sometimes it's a little tough to pull through because, like you said, a lot of people would rather listen to a lot of that manufactured crap that's out there. That, or I like so many different types of music, it's hard for me to pick one person to listen to certain things, though. That's just, I have so many different ones float through my head half the time. But, yeah, you do really good. And like I said, every time I try, I got my friend in England out there. I'm trying to get her, you know, I get her on there, and she's trying to get friends through. And
and I always carry your business cards with me. I give your business cards out every time I can to people that seem to be able to, you know, people who are in the business who may be able to help you.
Frank's year is going to be 2012, I think.
I think so, too.
So.
No, I know Frank, and I've known him for a long time, and we've talked, and, you know, I followed Frank for a long time from when he first started, when I first started speaking to him. I know him, not when he first started, but this is this is somebody that is, we're probably going to want his autograph someday.
I already have it.
He's one of those, he's not going to be, you got a lot of musicians out there, and a lot of them think, oh, I'm going to make it big. Frank doesn't, like, he's not arrogant like that, and he just happens to have talent, good looks, help. And he's going to go far, and he's not going to be playing in, you know, corner bars and at colleges. This guy is going places. I've seen it. I've seen people go from playing in colleges and for free and this and that and stuff to totally making it huge. Frank's going to make it big. You know, the guy's talented. He's a nice guy. He likes to help people. And he has the good looks to go along with it. And, you know, the girls like that, Frank, you know.
Yeah, I agree. He's a real deal. I mean,
I keep hearing this Justin Bieber or whatever his name is. Am I saying it right? Justin Bieber, Biber, whatever the hell his name is. I mean, I'm seeing
Bieber. Here's what
his
name is.
You know, well, I go on YouTube, but it's Justin out. It's mostly bad things people talk about him. I don't even know what he sings, you know. But, like, I saw what he looked like, and I listened to part of a song that he did, and I just wasn't impressed with any of it, man, you know.
Not
I thought
either.
It was a joke.
I think it's just the type of music you sing, too, because he Justin Bieber is what gets me. It's a 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid. Four-year-olds adore him. Mm. Well, what's the point of having fans that, one, their parents have to buy the tickets for you in the first place, most of the ages anyways. And, you know, you've got fans that are too young to really understand half the stuff you're talking about anyways. It's like all these Disney people that come out. They're 3-4-year-old kids. My niece, you know, my granddaughter, Hannah Montana, but she's 6 years old. You know, I mean, and what are you going to do when you're 20? Your 6-year-old fans are going to move on. And and there's a whole new set of music. I mean, it's just the music that comes and goes. Frank singing music that will hopefully surpass generations, because it's not bubblegum pop. It's not.
Yeah, it'll stay.
Yeah, it's and a lot of this, I think a lot of the and he's getting to older, hopefully an older group of people. The younger people will grow up with him. That's great, but you've got to kind of hit a group of people that are going to be able to afford your merchandise without having to ask their parents.
Right.
And I don't know. It's hard to say because so many genres come and go so quick. You have the boy band and then the rap groups and then, you know, they all get older eventually, and where do you fit in the long run? And I think it's if you stick with a classic sound, you're going to stick no matter what generation you're trying to reach.
Yeah, and he has that sound. He has.
Yeah, he definitely does. I mean, it reminds me a lot of, you know, the harder rock that he used to
listen
to.
Not like, you know, New Kids on the Block or Backstreet Boys came out and they had, like, you know, five or six hits, and then now they're all working at McDonald's. Frank's music is different. He has a different style. He writes his own songs, you know. Those guys there, all their songs were written for them. They were all pretty boys hyped up by some guy that's in jail now, you know. Frank's style and his, you know, everything else about him that he has is going to go a long way versus,
yeah,
you know, the Backstreet Boys, the New Kids on the Block, you know. I was surprised to see that was his style when I saw his picture and then I listened to his music when I first met Frank. I was like, wow, this guy's good. I can't picture Frank singing the songs that he does. I was amazed, you know. And one of the first radio interviews when I was on with Frank, I was like, wow, man, that's like, sounds like Creed to me. That's like Creed material, you know. And then I heard some of his other songs, like Remembrance, which was in a film that I did. And then Taken Out, not because of Frank, but because of the filmmaker. And I was like, wow, this guy can go from singing like Creed, Metallica, you know, hardcore, to a song like Remembrance. And you don't get a lot of that from musicians, you know. There's no city.
It's got another one.
So few people write their own stuff nowadays. Like you said,
oh, yeah.
So
nobody
few people does that and then sings it themselves, you know, and takes it themselves and makes it their own instead of giving it to somebody else. And I mean, nothing against songwriters. I mean, I'm a horrible singer. If I could write songs, I'd be more than happy to have someone like Frank sing my songs for me. But
well, you know what you need to do? You need to write us a couple songs and hand them to Frank, and I guarantee you Frank will sing those songs for you.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Frank. What do you think?
Well, if
I think that's a good idea.
He's the type of guy that if you sent him a song, he'd probably sing it on TV for you, you know? I mean, he's a good guy.
I'm sure if other people have did that, and sometimes, you know, I don't use everything, or sometimes I don't use anything, but you know what? Sometimes I'll read something, even if it's a message that somebody sends me or something, and it'll inspire me to write a song. Like, you won't believe it, but I was watching Ray Romano, his old TV show. Everyone loves Raymond, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the wife's always saying to him, you know, just so you know, I'm going to do this. And just so you know, like, he has no choice in it. Just that one word inspired a whole song for me.
Yeah.
It's just weird stuff like that. Very random sometimes, you know. But
they
most
have a gift,
it,
bro. That's why you have a gift to use to take that and turn it into a song. Your brain works very well with music, you know,
like,
and
like
ideas.
You were saying with the New Kids on the Block and stuff, the style of music I like isn't, you know, it's like fashion comes and go. Same thing with those genres. It comes and goes. It's constantly changing. I'm not in the part of that. I do rock and basically rock, country, all the classical stuff. That's never going to die, ever.
No.
Those are there to stay. And
right.
I just, everything I sing, even if, because some people are like, you know what, you, like with It's All Right, you know, you're not really saying a lot of the words. There's not really a lot of words, you know, in the verses and stuff, and it's not that pronounced in what you're saying. But at the same time, do you want to sing something that's very descriptive that you have no feeling in and you don't really believe in the lyrics? Or have the lyrics have a meaning and sing them with all your heart and you can hear that?
Well, like your song Love, Frank, we can...
What are you saying, Phil?
I said we could play your song Love.
Oh yeah, if you want to.
Okay.
Hey, we still got TR on there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you want to say something, TR? I know you got
Yeah.
I think I heard you trying to cut in.
Well,
no, go ahead.
One thing I can say it quick in terms of, like, the ladies and stuff. I remember one gig that I attended where he played, and, I mean, just out of nowhere, like, this whole group of girls rushed the stage. And what's the problem? He didn't, like, stop the song or anything. He just kept right on going, and it was amazing. And also, the thing I like about him is that he's always growing.
Do me a favor and turn your sound down in the background. We're getting a lot of reverb. But I got that song queued up, Frank, if you want to give a little talk about that one. It's called Love.
Yeah. I got the music video out on YouTube there, and I got it done with the new school of radio and film in Albany. And believe it or not, that whole music video was shot for free and edited for free, and I couldn't believe it. And the guy who made it worked on Salt. He was assistant something on the production of that, but he's been in the film business for a couple of years now. And when I first watched it, I was just like, I was speechless. I'm like, to think of something that was your idea to have it come out like that, you can't explain it to somebody. But it's definitely a song that comes from my own experience, and it's kind of twisted around a little bit because the person I knew isn't dead, but we made her die in the music video. So that's kind of what I think about her, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Regardless, the video is awesome. I love the video and I love the song.
Yeah,
well,
too.
I appreciate it, guys. I mean, everything that you said and stuff, it's good to know that you have people backing you and believing in you. And, you know, without you guys, too, I wouldn't really know, because I don't think you know an outside source of, am I doing the right thing? What do people think? You know, you can think one thing, and it might not be coming across. But, like, I'm trying to think here. Part of, I can't remember who said it, part of it saying is, I think Sandy said about it's all about the image and stuff. And, you know, I would want my music so that, you know, anyone could listen to it. Because I went in and I played for my elementary school, and I played I'm Waiting and It's All Right. I mean, it's rock music, but I want to be that positive influence that kids can look up to. You can play it anywhere, and it doesn't have to be banned, doesn't have to be edited. But at the same time, you know, I love bands like Motley Crue and bands that haven't had the best track record. But I've always taken that and learned from it, and you know, just tried to do what I feel, you know, is right.
Well, just to let you know how many people are around the world right now. In South Africa, you've got 12 people listening to the show. In New Zealand, we've got 978. In Germany, we got 121. Indonesia, we have 25. Thailand, we have 32. Let's see. Canada, we've got 1,421. Australia's got 138. Germany's got 502. The United Kingdom's got 414. Russia must have made some phone calls because we've got 31 people in Russia listening. Greece, Romania.
Oh, gonna have to do a world tour.
So,
passport.
Believe it or not, my music video is playing in Cape, all the way down in Africa. There's a town called Cape something. They're playing my music video down there, and I was like, yeah, why not? I'll send it there, you know?
You got the Ukraine, Switzerland, France, Canada.
Wow.
So, I got it queued up. We'll play this one. It's called Love by Frank Phalange. Thank you.
Oh, amazing. I love that song.
Awesome.
It's one of my favorites.
Awesome. Me
too.
That's great. Yeah, this will probably get downloaded about 25,000-30,000 hits tomorrow.
Can you? What do you download, MP3 of this? Or?
No, they can download the show, Frank.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to download it. And, you know, if you wouldn't mind.
Go for it.
You know, just have a copy and stuff.
Yeah, go for it. It's on the if you go to the blog, that blue box, you can the little thing in there says you can download it, or you can go to the show page and download it too.
Cool. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I'll do that.
And Brenda says she'll work for as a roadie for free.
Yeah, definitely.
There you go.
And I'll be a photographer.
There you go. We're all willing to work for you, Frank.
I'd work for you for free.
I'm sure I usually, everyone I know I incorporate somehow, so if I'm not one of those ones that forget people. So if I can help out anybody, I definitely will.
But seeing that I'm I work with the public all the time in fast food, I'd be more than willing to sit around at a booth somewhere and sell t-shirts or something too, so you know, no big deal.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I can
sit, too, Brandon.
There you go.
I can sit with you, Brenda, since I work in fast food, too.
Most times I'll just sit in the back booth and I'll, you know, Facebook everybody. So if you're talking to me on Facebook between 11:30 and 4 tomorrow, I'm at work.
Well, that'll be me tomorrow, too. I work till 10 o'clock tomorrow night, so.
I work till 1, so I'll be at work, too.
But
yeah,
I'd be more than willing to trade it in for roadie status or T-shirt fella or anything
goes,
else.
Al goes, I'll drive the bus, he goes.
There you go.
Yeah, just to, well, I start at 3:30 and I get off at 3.
That's
but what
day.
I do is I keep our United States Navy on the water.
Good job.
There you go. Cool.
But, no, I got another one queued up, Frank. I'm waiting.
Sounds good.
How did that one come about?
I wrote it in 2007, actually. I released a, I think Brenda has it, and Sandy. I released my own kind of demo album I recorded actually in my basement that had the original version of I'm Waiting on it. And my friend Joe is in a band called No Image. He did backup vocals and drums for it, and that was kind of the start of it. And my plan was always to do kind of a revamped, bigger version. And when I had the chance to do it, I was like, that is the first song that I got to hit. And there's plans for it. Like, I do want to do a full album eventually, and what will happen is I'll end up redoing all the EP tracks as far as remixing, and I might even redo all the vocals because, I don't know if you guys noticed, but with I'm Waiting and It's Alright, I sound different than I do on the other two tracks, and my voice isn't exactly as Creed-like or Josh Brown from Day of Fire. He goes, you lost that warble that you had. There's like a warble thing that I had before, and I kind of, you know, just learning different techniques and trying to sing better, you know, I got rid of that for the better. So,
I would have said probably puberty, seeing that you're awfully young, but.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would just say it's just the evolution of your voice. And I think now that, like, when you guys hear I Am Ready, that is what I sound like 100% now. And I think if I went back and redid that, it would come out more what I envisioned the song to be like. But that's definitely in the works, and I'll pitch that back to radio, and maybe I'm Waiting will be another single. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm going to have
like
to agree with Al on that one. This Girl is one of my favorite songs on that CD too. I absolutely don't know what it is about it. It just kind of strikes me every time I hear it. It's just an amazing song.
I love that one too.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people talk to me about it. And it's got like, there's a couple networks, got like 30,000 plays and stuff. And I was thinking about that somehow, doing, because that's just an acoustic song, but it's got the female backup vocals in the background. And that'll be one for the future in the plans.
Well, it's definitely,
okay,
you know,
let me
one
bring
of
it up.
They all reach out to you, that's for sure.
This one's called I'm Waiting. Nice.
That's my favorite track out of all of them. Definitely.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a great one. That's one of my favorite too.
Hey, Phil, you still got I Am Ready queued up there, the preview?
Yeah, give me 1 second.
All right. Hey. Maybe we can play it again for those who didn't hear it earlier.
Of course, I think the hardest thing is when someone says, well, what song did you like? I said it's kind of hard because depending on your mood and things like that, it's hard to pick the song I like the most.
Yeah.
Because each song grabs me at a certain time, and I go, oh, that's when it fits me well, and it's very hard to pick a favorite song. So when you ask me that question, then I have a hard time figuring it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
It could be different 1 week from the other, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Frank's music grows on you. You just gotta.
Oh, it does.
Definitely.
Yeah, you gotta listen to it with an open mind, and it'll take.
I find
you
it very hard not to say, "Hey, everybody, listen to this," and then I got a few friends that'll roll their eyes and go, "I really don't want to hear that." And I'm like, "Well, you know, just listen anyways."
Well, I'm into country, so I wasn't sure at
10 minutes, you know. But
The one I like the most of the time is Driving These Lines, because. But Frank, you hear like a fun, you know what I mean? Like you can hear the enjoyment he gets when he sings and plays his music, and that's what I get from that song. So he seems like he's having fun, but he's giving you that 100% or more energy, like he does in every song that I listen to. But it just seems
the most
like
him.
The
emotions in it. He definitely.
Yeah.
Puts all his feeling, he puts all of himself into the song, and like I said, we said before, so few people will do that, and sometimes you can just hear that they're just singing it because they were told to sing it. He definitely sings it because he wants to sing it, he likes to sing it, and he's doing it to make other people who also enjoy it and like it even more. You know, I like them, the more I hear it, the more I like them.
Right.
And, you know, you get to the point where you're never going to hear it. Like a guy like Bon Jovi, you know. The more you hear the song, you might have heard it 50, 60 times, but it doesn't matter. It still sounds the way it sounded the first time you heard it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It's true. I mean, and like I said before, I mean, his music is always growing. You know, the storyline, the lyrics, the feeling, the energy, the emotion, you know, all that stuff with him always seems to grow and blossom in each song that he makes.
Mm-hmm.
It
does.
It really does grow on a person, though. Like I said, I'm into country, and I never would have thought I'd be liking a rock singer. But, you know, the more I listened, you know, I really like it, and I like him, and he really puts himself into his music. I just think he's great.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Yeah.
I have that queued up. This is Frank's 45-second preview of I'm Ready.
Hey, Peter, still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I got a 3-year-old I'm chasing around the house, so.
I think we lost Peter.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
what do you guys think of the preview?
It's really,
well,
really good.
Preview.
Yeah, it's definitely. Can't wait to hear the whole thing.
Right.
Always making us wait, he does.
Oh, yeah.
Anticipation.
Now you're waiting. I'm not waiting. Now you guys are.
Well, it's again, it's just one of those songs that, you know, that raw emotion, that everything to it, and, you know, when the whole thing is played, it's going to be probably one of your best live rocking songs for sure.
It's definitely like when we play it.
Before I get to see that.
When we play it live, it definitely has that energy to it. I mean, it's hard to explain from recording to a song to playing it live, but, you know, we definitely have maybe even more of that energy, you know, when I play it live. But it's definitely, I just don't know what, everyone's like, you know, 2012, I think, you know, something's going to happen, and I have this feeling, you know, that something is just going to, it's going to kick me into the direction that I need to go and just blow it out of the water, you know.
Well, you're definitely deserving of the big break, as they say. You know, you definitely are more than deserving of it. You put so much of yourself out there, and, like, you put your own time, your own money, your own, you know, so much of you into it that I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't want to back that if they could. I mean, like I said before, if I could, I'd be behind you 100%. For sure, because, you know, if I was ever in a position where I could do that for somebody, especially someone I've considered a friend now that and know as well as I know you and everything like that, I would more than gladly help you. Because, you know, like I said, I didn't really have that I want to be a rock star dream or anything like that. I basically just wanted to be, because I live in such a tiny town, there's not a whole lot you can do here. But, you know, I'm always for supporting people who are good at what they do and enjoy what they do. You know, for anybody, friends, family, whatever. I mean, I'm usually as much as I can behind them as much as I possibly can be. And I do run around trying to at least get everybody to listen to you. And some people go, hey, he's great. I've got a few Twitter friends that think you're really awesome, and I'm hoping I can get them at the next stage at show or get them on iTunes at least and buy your stuff. And so, you know, I do what I can and share and talk about as much as tweet and whatever as much as I possibly can, because it's that good, and you definitely deserve a break this year.
Yeah, I second that. You really do deserve your big break.
Yeah, and I agree.
Couldn't do it without you guys, I tell you that much. That is, I mean, you guys don't know, but you guys have helped massively in what you do, what you just told me. And, you know, it's kind of a thing where you can say thank you, but you can't thank someone as much as what you're thinking, you know. But, yeah, I thank you guys. Definitely.
Well, you know, I mean, if you weren't as genuine as you are, and you know, you can definitely tell your parents raised you right. They did a really good job. I mean, you're very genuine. You believe in what you know, you feel what you believe, and you say it, you mean it. And I definitely, who doesn't want a friend like that on their side, on their side, no matter what? And you definitely are that person. And like I said, you know, hopefully everybody should have, you know, the dreams that you have and achieve everything you deserve. No one's more deserving of it than you, that's for sure.
It's good that you guys recognize that, because if you didn't, then I'd be like, man, you know, there's a problem. Because it's funny, just from what I've experienced going out and people that I've only talked to for a few minutes, but something about me they can just tell. And, you know, it's not about being my goal. I mean, it's cool, I guess, to be a big rock star, but that's not my goal, you know. I want to get my songs out there because I love doing it. Obviously, I want to make a living at it. And, you know, to fully do that, to fully get out there, I mean, you're going to get bigger and bigger. But, you know, I'm not one of those guys that, well, I want to be a rock star, so that's what I want to do. It's more than that.
You're very passionate about what you do, and I can understand that. You love it, and you want to share that, and that's great. And that's what makes us love you, because you're real, and it's not just music we're hearing. We're hearing your heart.
You know, I have a lot of friends in the music industry also, and Frank's one of those guys that's true to form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like some people, and, you know, finally when they get to where they want to be, they tend to forget that there were a bunch of little people that helped them get to that direction. And I don't see Frank forgetting one person ever in his entire life, no matter how long it takes him to get to where it is he wants to go. Or even if he decides, I've done enough, you know, he'll never forget the people who pushed him in that direction, because that's all you need in life is just you need that push to keep going, because most people, if they don't get it, they give up. Mm-hmm. And as long as he gets it, he's not going to give up.
No, if you give up on your dreams, you might as well crawl back under that rock and pull it on top of you.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's right.
You know, I had a friend of mine who he was on a Rock Legends cruise a couple weeks ago, and somebody went to talk to Billy Gibb from ZZ Top, and his whatever you want to call go between or whatever just said he's not here for that. What the fuck? He's on a Rock Legends cruise. What do you mean he's not here for that? She wouldn't let anybody get near him to get an autograph or talk to him or a picture or anything.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, basically the guy forgot who put him there.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, I've had that experience with sports people even. I mean, and you look at it. I mean, I can go back years ago when I was a big Yankees fan and I wanted to meet Reggie. I wanted Reggie Jackson's autograph. And the guy was like, he's not bothered by it. I says, you know, we're the reason why you're where you're at. If it wasn't for us buying the tickets and doing this and doing that, you'd be nothing. And we wouldn't care, you know, but unfortunately, the bigger you get, for some people, they forget that there are people out there who are spending their hard-earned dollars to make them who they are. And then when they're all washed up and nothing, they're going, well, where's all the people who loved me? I says, well, they moved on, you know.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I've had that myself. I've had where, I go up, you know, I tell them, you know, I'm a musician, but I love your music and stuff. And they're like, you know, can I have your autograph or can I have a moment of your time or something? And they're like, come back next show.
Yeah.
Or there's
other
guys.
Or, hey, you got
$10,
I'll give you my autograph. You know, it's like, hey, come on, you know.
I hate that. I'm not going to mention anybody, but there's other guys that are great, like Sal from My Darkest Days, that he took like 5-10 minutes out, he talked to me, I told him about the project and stuff, and he's like, dude, he's like, maybe when you're around, we can, you know, I can record some solo guitar for you. You know, there's just guys out there that are like that, and then there's guys that go straight to their trailers, and they never talk to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I know, like myself, I saw the band Blues Traveler in Saratoga in New York, and, you know, it was a really great show and everything, and I tried to meet John Popper because for me he was one of my musical inspirations growing up, and I was able to talk to the bass player, who's a really cool guy, very nice, approachable guy. He said to me, he goes, I don't mean to sound mean to you, young man, but he just doesn't really talk to anybody unless he really knows you. And I was just like so heartbroken, but you know, it was kind of my first taste of, oh, this happens.
Oh,
yeah,
it happens too often.
Like, if the artist is sick or he's wicked tired that night or something like that, but to never do it, to never say, well, you know, I don't really sign autographs, I don't really do this and that. Yeah. You know, they should, because those are the people, you know, that are buying your tickets and you're supposed to have a connection with them. If there's no connection.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine, he's up in Oregon, and he really likes Rusty's band, Atticus 7. And I sent him the CD, but it also got autographed. And he was so excited to get the CD that he realized it was autographed to him. And then he saw it, and he called me back and said, dude, I didn't know you were going to do that too. I said, well, what's the sense of you standing there and I'm talking to him not to have him do that for you?
Exactly. That's a great thing to do.
I've met a lot of artists that, you know, sometimes you just figure, you know, they just can't be bothered. And, you know, I always give them the benefit of the doubt, but if I hear other people have had the same, you know, experience with them, then I figure, well, you know, why am I a fan of this person? If he can't take a minute for me, why should I care about him?
Right, exactly.
And, Sandy, you've met tons and tons of people.
Yes, I have.
You go to so many shows.
And I love meeting them. I love meeting the people. It means everything to me.
I do, too. Every show I go to, I'm like, who do I get to talk to? How can I get to... Like, I'm there, I'm watching the show, but at the same time, watching what's going on in the background, I'm like, all right, this guy went off stage from that band, now he's going over there, he's going to go over... Maybe I'll wake my... You know, I'll move over here. You know, it's just... To me, that's all a part of it. And, you know, I would... Some of these bands, too, they charge like $200 for like two people to meet the band and get an autograph for what, like a minute? You know, I'd be like, I don't care. I would never do that. Ever.
Well, you know the show, The Sons of Anarchy? I know a lot of those guys, and I've been to where they're appearing or whatever, and people are like, dude, how do you get to just go back there? I said, because we're friends. They're your friends? Oh, man, my old lady wants to meet him, and my cousin's over there, he wants to meet. And I'm like, hey, man, I can take one or two people back there, but I can't take everybody back.
Exactly. But it's also nice, too, to be in the point where you can, like someone like Frank, you know, get in on the ground level and be called that friend and maybe be in the VIP room someday. Or and hang out in the back and say, hey, I knew him, and things like that. And it'd be awesome. I mean, like I said, I grew up in New York, so my stepmother went to school with Carl Yastrzemski, and I lived out on Long Island, and a lot of the big celebrities back in those days hung out there quite a bit. And, you know, my family can drop names and things like that. But as far as knowing them on a personal level, not really. But, I mean, it's just one of those things. But I'm right now in my position, I'm in this itty-bitty little town where I think Charlie Daniels tour bus came through at one time. But, you know, it's nothing. Don't get to meet too many up-and-comers, rich and famouses, or anything down here. And not only that, but I forgot what I was going to say. But, you know, I also growing up in the 80s, too, you know, if you could get in the front row and flash your boobs at Def Leppard, you got a chance to get in the back in the day. But, you know, I don't think they're doing it that often anymore, those kind of things. So, gone or mine, and I wouldn't do it as myself. So,
yeah, it's like my partner, sometimes, my partner Bill, he he's got a doctor in schmoozology, but he MCs a lot of shows, and he's just MCing. But the girls will, when he comes off the stage or he's walking around, they all mob him until he finds out that I'm just the MC.
Well, that's another reason why I like a lot of the country artists, too, because, again, that's another genre that most of the people are very genuine in.
Absolutely.
And it just I think it just depends on the person themselves, but I think a lot of the country artists, and I believe, you know, they've got an amazing fan following, and their fans adore them, and I really like all kinds of music, but the country following, definitely, there's, you know, they are that way, and a lot of artists. I don't know everything about too many of the bigger artists, but, you know, it's just because it's such a close-knit, and they really seem to reach out to the fans a lot of times. And, you know, like, and Frank's one of those few people, and there's so many people out there that do that, but it's also hard because a person like me might go, well, I'm not going to bother them. They don't want to be bothered by me and blah, blah, blah. And you just have to go up there and find out for yourself whether they're that way or not, and hopefully they're not, and you still like them. But it is a big turnoff when someone says, you know, I can't be bothered by you, and you probably just spent as hard as you work, minimum wage, most of us people work, and you spend every penny you had just to get to the show and to be turned away or treated like, you know, you're not worth the ground I'm walking on, you know?
Yeah,
I'm not going to, I'm going to toot my own horn here, but I'm sitting on my bike, and for the next 3 months, I'm the bike of the quarter. I'm the biker of the quarter. And I went down over the weekend, I went to a few places, and they had the magazine out, and they had the picture taped up on the wall, you know, and I had people coming up to me and asking me if I'd autograph the picture for them. I was like, wow, just set my confidence level out the window, you know, but it's like, yeah, people just, Frank's down to earth. I'm down to earth guy. I just this is my show. This is what I do. I help people as much as I can.
Well, I appreciate you having me on here, there, Phil. And
oh, no worries, brother. Anytime.
I think over a course of a year, you know.
Yeah, you got an open ticket here, man.
Well, that's a nice thing. I like, you know, with like Frank and kind of like some of the other folks said, you know, that he's so open and willing to walk out and like shake your hand or sign an autograph or something else. You know, it just shows not only like that he cares and honestly cares about the fans, but that, you know, he understands that, you know, these are the building blocks for what is yet to come, whatever it may be. And, you know, I know myself, fortunately, being, you know, his friend too, which, you know, I truly appreciate every day, you know, that I learn from him and like seeing him grow and prosper and flourish in his musical journey. So it's really cool.
And that's the reason why we support him so much, is because of the way he treats his fans.
Right.
Yeah. And it's so much easier. I mean, I'd rather be a professional fan than of someone who's a decent person and definitely doesn't forget where they came from and things like that and works hard to, you know, we tell him, hey, we like this, and he says, well, what did you like about this? Give me some feedback. I mean, a lot of them just go, that's great, you like it, that's wonderful. I mean, he wants to genuinely know if, hey, do I need to change something? Should I fix this? Do I? And he willingly shares things with us that he might not necessarily share with somebody else just to get that feedback. And I know sometimes I say, oh, that's great, that's wonderful, that's fabulous, oh, I love it. But then I think, well, maybe I should be a little more constructive. But I don't know the business, so I can't tell him, well, you should do this and with that. And as a person that listens to music, I love it. It's great. And at this point in time, I haven't heard anything I didn't like. And, you know, I'll play it over and over again, and if I didn't like it the first time, I might like it the second time. It just depends on the mood I'm in at the time of listening to whatever particular song. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old or, you know, if he wrote it when he was two or, you know, it's just that it's good and
I wrote it with a crayon.
It's always worth a second listen. Yeah, well. But, you know, I mean, it's always worth a second listen, and the second listen, you know, like I said, it all depends on the mood you're in. I mean, a song like Gramps' song, which on the CD that I have, and I like it, and it definitely evokes emotions in you that, you know, particular time of the, for me, it comes in handy, and you listen to it, and it reaches out and it touches you. If it doesn't touch you, in my eyes, it's not a song worth listening to, but has to, you know, and I like, you know, that's how I like music that grabs out and grabs whatever emotion you're feeling at that time. And if I cry, it's a damn good song. If you can make me cry, if it's a love song or a sad song, and you can make me cry, then that's it. That's the best song I've heard for that week. You know, it's.
Hey, Frank, check your email.
My Yahoo email?
Yeah, check your email. I just sent you that picture I was talking about. We'll get an unbiased opinion from the West for the East Coast.
You all have a good night. I got to go. But it was good talking to you, Frank, and everybody else here, and Phil, and everybody.
You too, man.
You keep rocking and keep doing what you're doing.
Come back often.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you later, TR.
Bye. Bye.
Night.
Well, thanks for coming on, guys. I appreciate it and taking a little bit out of your time here out of your night. And
this is quite an interview.
Yeah, it's been real fun, real interesting.
Well, it's different because I'm always like, you know, you got the radio guys asking you questions, and you know, this, I always like things that are a little different.
Yeah. Well, another thing that's really interesting about it is that, you know, we've gotten to know you, you know, the girls and I, and now we're all here talking together with you. So that's pretty cool, too.
I know.
Yes.
It's nice to be able to put a voice to the Facebook name that I talk to all the time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're in the history of the making.
We're a family.
Yes, I agree with family.
Oh, yeah, that's, definitely. And we were brought together by Frank, which makes it all the better. And like I said, Sandy, I've met a few times on a few stage shows here and there, and all depends, and I frequent that. According to Stage It, I've been there 1 year, 15 minutes. I like how they break it down like that. But, you know, I like being able to say that, you know, when I finally hear a song, I remember when that song was written, or I remember something like that. And it's nice to be on the ground level of something like this. And you know, one day when, of course, I don't know if people will be buying CDs in stores anymore. I think everything will be digital downloads before too long. So it's not like you're going to be standing next to somebody in a record store. Like the old days when you, hey, that's a good song, album, you should pick that up. It's really hard to, you know. But, you know, I like that. I like to be able to tell people, hey, you know, you really should listen to this. Or if someone says, hey, I just heard such and such, I can say, oh, man, I've been listening to him forever. He's awesome. You're going to love him, you know.
And Stage It is great because we can watch him doing it.
Yeah, and it helps for those of us who can't get out to the big shows because
we're too far away.
In a tiny town, all the big shows are either in Tampa or Orlando or too far for me to get to. And believe me, if I could make a living out of it, I definitely would be going from show to show to show because it's something that I love doing. I've gone to maybe 4 or 5 concerts my entire life, and I'm 46 years old, and I wish I'd gone to more. Like I said, one of these days we'll get Frank out here to Florida. Heck, I'll get up there and I'll see him live one of these days.
Live concerts are great.
Yes, definitely. But, you know, I like this. I like Stage It because at least now I know live-wise, and I've also seen, like, the videos of your live shows. At least now I know what you'll sound like. And you don't sound, like, what's great is you don't sound any different than you do in recorded form because so many people sound so different recorded than they do live, and you go to a live show, and you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
They don't sound like that, and you know, that's what I like, you know, sometimes it's great, but, you know, it's like, ooh. Like you said, all that manufacturing and the recording and everything, you can just hear that raw, genuine feel in a lot of your songs, even
if
in recorded
form.
You can.
I hope to bring it to live shows in the future sometime, or even I know when I get together my band, we're working on trying to get the mixer plugged into the laptop so it sounds decent, and we'll do like a practice run or something for you guys on Stage It and in the internet.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Keep me posted on that one. But we're down to the last 30 seconds. So Frank, I appreciate you calling in. Brenda, Sandy, everybody that called in tonight. And, Frank, you know you're welcome back anytime.
Thanks, Phil. I appreciate it. Everyone have a good night.
You didn't give me your opinion on that picture, though.
Oh, I sent it in your email. Looks great. Looks like what?
That was the first time I had a woman on her back in a parking lot for 6 hours and nothing happened.
Well, that sounds fun.
Looks good, though, man. It really does.
Thank you.
Well, it was great fun, y'all. We'll definitely have to do it again sometime.
Yes, we will. This was great.
Okay.
I agree.
Well,
It's been fun.
Keep you guys in the loop and come back anytime. This isn't just all what we do. We talk about everything. And if you got some burning desire and you want to talk about it or chew somebody's ass, I'll even call them for you so you can tell them to get fucked.
Oh, I wish I had my ex's phone number now.
There you go.
Well, when you find it, call me
night.
And we'll do that for you.
You guys have a good night. Stay warm.
You too, guys. You
bye,
too, everybody.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye,
coming
everyone.
Out, girls.
Bye.